Well, good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here again this morning. Now, I was thinking about this half marathon that's going on very close to us, and I'm thinking about all those people running so many miles and how much they must be at some point desiring some water to quench their thirst. So it's probably very appropriate that we've got the half marathon going on as we think about water. And there's nothing like a thirst-quenching long drink on a hot summer's day, is there? Nothing like it when you're so thirsty. Now, we're blessed here in East Greenwich because we can't really get away from water, can we? Because we're right here sitting on the Thames. So water is part of our fact of life, our way of being. But how often do we reflect that without water there would be no life on Earth? How much of the percentage of our bodies do you think is made up of water? Anyone got any answer? Any of the children or young people? How much percentage of our bodies is made up of water? Anyone know? Well, I've been told it's about 50, and it's roughly, and it doesn't matter how old we are, what our gender is, it's roughly 50. It can go up and down a bit, but roughly 50. So we've got 50% of us today is sitting here as water. What an amazing creation. What an amazing gift. And so we heard dramatically, didn't we, how our Creator God separated, once again, order from chaos, the water above, the skies and the sea. And we know it's created our beautiful oceans, our lakes, our rivers. And we are blessed by that. In fact, there are over 722 verses in the Bible that talk of water. Not surprisingly, from a people who would have walked around and known that water scarcity was possible. Water was precious. Water is a gift. Water gives us refreshment. It's life-giving. And as we saw in our small cameos, there is a huge sacredness, deep imagery in water that speaks to us. But when we think about water at the moment, we've had lots of storms, haven't we? We've had storms that have been here creating problems for us. And then we think about the flooding and other massive problems across the world because of water. So however much we think about water being precious, hello, my darling, we cannot pretend that water, though it's the hub of life, it can cause to some people trouble. It can cause problem. It can cause fear and anxiety. And in our Lent study, Ruth Valero says, it has this shadow side. Because it can bring death and it can bring suffering. And we know that through floods and the climate crisis that we're in. And the Bible, particularly in Psalms, uses imagery about us being in deep waters or the torrents of destruction overwhelming us. So I think it's important when we think about this amazing gift of water that actually there is this side that probably speaks to us sometimes in our lives, in the circumstances that are dark and deep and difficult, that it can feel painful or frightening or scary. But we are affirmed in the Psalms that God is in control of the waters and we will be safe. So when we feel like that in our lives, when we feel like we are in deep trouble or we are going to be subsumed or overwhelmed, we know that God has got us. God is there in the waters with us, in the circumstances of our lives. So what did you take from these beautiful little depictions this morning? What do we take with Moses striking the rock in Horeb? There were the Israelites. They'd been walking. They were thirsty. There is no rivers. And yet, God can make the waters of life spurt out of the dry barrenness of the rock. How often have we needed that spring of life to burst out when we have felt dry or rocked or hard? And the well of life is there. God provides for us both physically with water and spiritually. And then we saw Cherry, didn't we? Tending in that psalm, the land that we need for all our food, for our water, for our livestock. And it's a wonderful poem of praise because of God's bounteous provision for us. And it talks about the rain. Now, how many of us see the rain as a blessing? How many of us have ever taken a walk in the rain and felt refreshed? That it has cleansed what may be in our minds, our hearts, and we have felt we can see the light again. That refreshing cleansing, God's bounteous provision to our land and us. And then we got that powerful moment there of Jesus being baptized by John. And we know for those of us who have been baptized or thought about baptism, that there is that cleansing nature. But it's also about cleansing all those hurts, all those pains, and all those things that we may have done that have removed us from God. It's about removing that sin. It's about washing that away and renewing our relationship with God. And in that moment, God spoke and said, "This is Jesus, my son, in whom is my beloved, and I'm well pleased." So there was the revelation of who Jesus was in the moments of that baptism. Now, I always like the story of the Samaritan woman. She's not a woman that people would have thought highly of. And yet, not one of us is unworthy of God's love or of God to speak with us or walk with us. There she is. And he asks water from the people who the Jews most despised, water from the well. And she offers to draw that water and to water the livestock, anything. She will do that. But she is surprised. How many of us are surprised when God is speaking into our lives and reaches out for us? And God is offering that Samaritan woman and us so much more than just water to drink. It's offering the water that will quench the spiritual thirst, that will satisfy the inner disquieted places that we have in our hearts and in our minds. The only living water can bring. The water that quenches our thirst and brings forth blessing, brings forth peace, brings forth refreshment. The spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Who wants to be drenched by that this morning? Because I certainly do. And that living water is something that God is offering us now, right now. Helping us to rid our lives of the dry and stagnant places. To pour out God's water, his life-giving love into our lives. And disquieting what overwhelms us. And then Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. Those people who have walked with him and yet still did not understand. And only hours from what we know happens on Good Friday. Of his pain and suffering. He acts as a servant and he is cleansing them and he is being clear to them that you follow me, that I love you, that I heal you, that I can clean you. I am washing away the sins, I am washing away the guilt. You are in relationship with me. And he's teaching us to how to be self-sacrificing, how to be giving, how we can help others come to that life-giving water in Jesus. And we know in the Gospels that Jesus can demonstrate that he is Lord over wind and the waves which obey him. And the disciples see that on the Sea of Galilee. Water, water in the lives of those disciples. So we can see that water is a phenomenal gift to creation. But have we lost our sense of how water is this provision from God? Have we lost our understanding of our need to thirst for that living water, that living spirit? Do we take it all for granted? Do we not think on it? And as we think about this gift of water, we need to think about how we can care for creation, how we can care for the water that we have been gifted with. And I know that the climate crisis can feel overwhelming, that we can feel that there's nothing we can do, but we can. Because when we have God's gift of love and God's gift of hope, we can be hopeful and we can take action. We can pray. Every one of us can pray when we are using water to remember other people, to remember how to use water well. How we can think about the chemicals we use, how we can turn the taps off when we're cleaning our teeth. We can do simple things that protect water. And we can also give. We can give to overseas charities that deals with water sanitation in places where there is sickness because there is no water, no clean water, no toilet provision. We can tackle pollution, both worldwide and our local area, that overtakes our waterways, the vegetation along the Thames, pollutes our river. We can do that. We can take, we can give money. And we can take practical action. We can educate our children, our families, our homes, our businesses, wherever we are. We can think about how we can use water safely. We can join local initiatives, looking at how we could support Deptford Creek or the Ecology Park, things that produce abundant life. We can do all those things because we can be filled with the hope that we can make a difference to care for God's amazing provision for us in water. But as we think on making these positive changes and thinking about how we use water and how we can recognise its beauty, even in this moment of crisis that we face in our world, we need to marvel once again and give thanks for this precious gift. Because by giving thanks, by appreciating it, we feel the need and desire to take that action. We will not be overwhelmed by it, but we will be hopeful for it. We can also, importantly, commit to ourselves again to Jesus, asking for that life-giving water, the water of life as blessing, of cleansing and healing our hurts, the water that Jesus offers bringing spiritual refreshment right to the core of our very being. Today, let us ask God to create in us that longing and recognition for his living water and desire to take action to protect the gift that we have been given. We ask, Lord, that the spring of water gushing up from eternal life will pour over us, will drench us, and inspire us. Amen.